This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Yes, God memorialized the seventh day by means of him resting on that day from all that he created. This day, from sunset to sunset, was named the Sabbath day for rest and worship. But much of the confusion surrounding which day is the actual Sabbath, that seventh day mentioned in Genesis, came from the ancient sun-worshipping religions that were so deeply embedded in the traditions of Rome. And this presented challenges for that early Christian movement, as many new converts were heavily influenced by these former teachings from childhood. So it was easy and comfortable to compromise the truth and retain what was familiar to them. Well, we'd like to help you understand to what extent these original apostolic teachings were indeed compromised and replaced with so many pagan substitutes, and additionally have now been retained within traditional Christianity.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bucherd.
Well, hello there once again, friends, and welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Now, you've often heard it said, and perhaps you've even said it, that we are born into, this ready-made world where we just continue to live in our cycles and patterns, and we never really question what we do or why we do it. And, you know, I'm as guilty as the next guy. We all seem to follow into these patterns and just doing what we've been taught, and we never really stop to think and ask ourselves the question, why is it that I do what I do, or why do I believe the way I believe? Well, why do I observe the things in which I observe? We never really stop to think about these kind of things and ask ourselves these type of introspective questions. And we're all guilty of that. And today's program will be a direct reflection of that reality that we all live from time to time, that we never stop to think about what we do. Or specifically today, why we worship, if we do worship God, in the fashion that we do. What do I want to talk about today? Well, let me ask you a couple questions. What day is the day of worship? You know, there's this controversy of whether we should worship on a Sunday or whether we're free to worship God on any day of the week. And of course we are. Every day is a day in a way in which we can worship God, an opportunity, if you will. But is there a day that God has set aside as a special day for him to be recognized, and in doing so that we recognize a vital truth, a spiritual truth that God wants us to know? In other words, does God have a day set aside in which he chooses to be worshipped on? Well, here we find ourselves in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 8, and just start to navigate our way through this topic of what is the day of worship, Sunday, Saturday, or any other day. And does it, in fact, make any difference at all? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In verse 8, chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. In other words, a reflection of his never-changing nature. He is the same today as he was yesterday, as he will be forever. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island of Patmos for the word of the God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Now, a lot of people will say that he was on a Sunday, but as we begin to expose this topic, let us stop here for just a moment and let's talk about some offerings that we have for you today, completely free of charge. Today we'd like to offer a CD that's titled Sabbath, a Memorial Connection. Sometimes we forget that the Sabbath day is in fact a memorial to God and a memorial to His creation. Therefore, it serves as being a special day to Him. In addition, we do have a manila article that is titled Sunday, Saturday, What Difference Does It Make? Why don't you reach out to us, friends, and call us at 888-578-8791. That's again, 888-578-8791. Or email us at info@cgi.org. Or if you want to go on the web, you can hit us up at cgi.org. And you might want to take note that we do have a weekly telecast that we have every Saturday. Of course, the times will be determined on the web. Now, getting back to this topic of the day of worship and does it matter to God, Saturday, Sunday, great controversy through the Church of Christ. And I have before me today an article that I want to bring to your attention that will help shed some light on this topic, and hopefully it'll add some clarity to our lives. Because if there is a God, friends, and we do believe that God exists, I believe He exists, perhaps you believe He exists, but you realize that He is the one who reserves the right to say how, why, when we worship Him, and He reserves the right and prerogative to say how we worship and specifically on what day we worship Him. Oftentimes we ask ourselves the wrong question. Why do I do what I do ought to be attached and associated with what does God expect? What does God want? Oftentimes, and unfortunately, He is the missing component to all the questions we ask ourselves. What does God think? And in addition to that, what do the world's religion, the religions of Christendom, as we lump them all together, or broad brush paint this thing called Christianity, all the different denominations of Christianity, what do they believe is the day of worship? Well, oftentimes, and mostly, it is Sunday. You might be surprised, in fact, to understand and to hear that the scholars of the different branches of Christianity do not really believe that Sunday is the Sabbath day, that there is no biblical precedence for a Sunday, other than the assumption, the wrong assumption, the association of Jesus Christ being resurrected on a Sunday. Well, I don't have time to get into that, but Jesus was not resurrected on a Sunday. But here are some quotes from all the different leaders and the different scholars of all the different branches of Christianity. It was put together by a Catholic cardinal by the name of Cardinal Gibbons. It's called Roman Catholic and Protestant Confessions About Sunday. Now, you can pull this up on the internet. You can view it for yourselves. I have a copy here, but you can look at it yourself. And this is one of the main confessions. We have Baptist here. We've got Roman Catholic. We've got the Anglican, Episcopalian, the Lutheran, Presbyterian, and some things that are written by the Methodists as well. But here's what the Baptist Sunday manual says. The Baptist manual says, there was and is, notice that, is a commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day. But that Sabbath day was not on Sunday. This is straight from an article for the Baptist Manual, Dr. Edward Hiscox, a Baptist scholar. It will be said, however, and with some show of triumph, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week. Where can the record of such a transaction be found? His conclusion? Not in the New Testament. Of course, I quite well know that Sunday did not come into use in early Christian history as a religious day, as we learn from the Christian fathers and other sources, but what a pity it comes branded with a mark of paganism, as he's referring to Sunday, and christened with the name of the sun god, when adopted and sanctioned by the papal apostasy and bequeathed as a sacred legacy to Protestantism. Now, what is he saying here? Well, just kind of cut to the chase and to kind of navigate our way through some of the language that he uses here. It's a little bit archaic in the way that he talks. He has a very eloquent way of speaking. But what he's saying here is you will find no biblical authority for the observance of Sunday for a New Testament Christian. Now, to some of you, this might be the first time you're ever hearing this, and automatically you're thinking, whoa, this doesn't sound right. But we're going to go through this topic, and we're going to kind of whittle this down and try to really hopefully help it make some sense to you that it's not Sunday that's the day of worship. It is, in fact, Sunday, and it has a very special connection as a memorial to our Creator. And I don't want to leave this scripture out, so I want to make sure I turn to this right away, because this is really the predicate that supports the seventh day as being the day of worship. And it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, in which God finishes His creation. Now, Genesis simply means the beginning. And it also shows us the vital truth about what the Sabbath day represents and just how important it is to our Creator. It's a very special day. Now, a lot of people will tell you, a lot of scholars will try to tell you that, well, time has kind of been lost. We really don't know what day the Sabbath day is. Well, that's not true. Mankind has never lost track of time and history. You can look on even a Gregorian calendar today, and you'll notice that the first day of week is Sunday, the seventh day of week is Saturday. So we can put that argument to rest. That is not even an issue of debate. The seventh day through history has been and always will be, without change, Saturday. There is no lost time. But this is what is recorded for us in the beginning. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. So this is the seventh day. This is God completing His creation. And what did He do on that day? The host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all the work which He had done. Now, when you think about God, and you think about Him being immortal, not being physical, it's hard to imagine that God would ever get tired and be in need of anything called rest. As a matter of fact, God says, I do not grow weary, and I do not need rest, so to speak. So why is He giving this? Well, it's an example to us of those who would otherwise work ourselves to death every 7 days of the week. Okay? But there's something special that happens in the book of Genesis that is very noteworthy in helping us to discover what the proper day of worship is. Now, there's all kinds of arguments surrounding what day it is, and we're going to get to some of that. And in verse 3, here it is. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Now, sanctified means that He obviously thinks that this day is special. And when God sanctifies something, it literally means that He reaches down and sets it apart. In other words, He's showing that this day is special. It's different from the other 6 days. It's for a purpose. And He's saying, you know what? I'm going to sanctify this. I'm going to set it to the side because it has a purpose. And the purpose is revealed through this verse here. Because in it He rested from all of His work which God had created. You know what God really did here? You know, it may not be a perfect analogy, but every year we have this thing called Memorial Day. It comes around, we celebrate it on Memorial Day because it's a memorial. Every year, each of us have a birthday. We observe it on our birthday because it is a memorial to our birth or to the result of our creation. And here we have the God of all things looking at this seventh day and saying, you know what? This day is special. I'm going to make this day a memorial. Now, a lot of people say that with the New Testament, when Jesus Christ came upon the scene, and with the resurrection allegedly being on a Sunday, that He changed it. But does it make sense to you, friends, that if God is going to make a memorial, and He's going to go through all the history of the Old Testament, and not just the Old Testament, but also the New Testament, we'll find numerous examples of people observing the seventh-day Sabbath. You will only find roughly 20 examples of people observing a day and Sunday. You know, Pentecost was one. It was an important Sunday. The triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem on the donkey. It was on allegedly on the first day of the week. But, you know, scholars will say that there are 20 examples of Christians assembling on a Sunday. But does that mean because people assemble that is a change in a memorial? Why would God bring us all the way down through roughly 6,000 years of history and time after time after time after time again reiterate the fact that His Sabbath is special? As a matter of fact, let's go to Isaiah chapter 58 to illustrate this, because He says something very important. Unfortunately, God's Sabbath day has been looked upon as a burden. And sometimes there's a little bit of a, how do I put this, an anti-Semitic association with the Sabbath day because it appears to be Jewish. So people want to avoid that. I want to make this point clear that the Sabbath day, although it was observed by people of the Jewish nations, the Sabbath day is not Jewish. It is a God-created memorial. As you will see in the end of this, that all flesh and blood will observe at a certain time. Now, we come to Isaiah chapter 58. There's a lot of different scriptures that we can read, but he says this in verse 13. And we'll just go on down through verse 14, just a couple verses of Isaiah chapter 58. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Jews? Oh, it's back up because I did that on purpose. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable. It is, in fact, Saturday the seventh day is, in fact, the Lord's real day of worship. And shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So here we have God inspiring Isaiah, a prophet, who was in fact speaking under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit and the very mind of Christ, reminding people, my Sabbath day is a delight, and if you would just but engage yourselves in this memorial, that I'm going to bless you for that. It's unfortunate that people want to spin this into a historical context and say that the Sabbath day, the Ten Commandments, or any of God's other holy days as outlined in Leviticus chapter 23, completely resided upon and began with the institution of Israel as a nation. Is that true? Well, we can see the fact that in the book of Genesis, when God sanctified the Sabbath day and he set it apart, let's ask ourselves a question. Let's be logical about this, because God is logical. God is pragmatic. Where was Israel when God had this inspired in the book of Genesis? Was Israel even a nation? No, Israel wasn't around yet. They were a long ways down the road yet. They weren't even considered yet. Well, they were a part of the plan. God knew it was going to come along, but there was no nation per se, and that's what I'm trying to say. And we have the Sabbath instituted long before Israel. And here's another point. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. You can jot this down and look it up later if you'd like. But if we can find proof that God's law was followed long before Israel was ever considered a nation, then we might want to reconsider that issue of whether or not the law stands or falls, and namely that of the Sabbath, seventh-day observance on the nation of Israel. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 5, we read this. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, which was transferred to Isaac, and consequently Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel later on. And I will make your descendants multiply the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Why were these promises given to Abraham? You might find this very interesting because it contradicts perhaps a lot of the things that you've been taught in Christianity, that the law stood or fell upon the nation of Israel. It is true that the Ten Commandments were codified at Mount Sinai, but they were in existence long before God descended upon Mount Sinai. And the Sabbath day does not stand or fall upon Israel being a nation. It's actually predicated upon creation and never meant to be changed. Verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. That's pretty exhaustive. That's a pretty exhaustive line of why Abraham was chosen for these blessings. Why? Because Abraham was an abiding law keeper. The Sabbath day was not something that came along the scenes with ancient Israel. It was along the whole lines of creation, and it comes down through us today. You might be surprised that Jesus himself observed the seventh-day Sabbath. Jesus didn't observe a Sunday. The apostles didn't observe Sunday. They observed the Sabbath day. And Jesus had a lot to say about this. But before we get into that, let's go to Romans chapter 14. Because in Romans chapter 14, there is a scripture that is twisted and used to diminish the responsibility and the consequent blessings of observing God's Sabbath day. And this came to me as a younger man, as I was coming into Christianity. This argument was presented to me, and it caused me a lot of trouble. It's something we call a difficult scripture, because people just want to kind of just throw away any kind of responsibility we have to turning to God and finding out what it is that He wants us to do. And I was troubled by this. And in verse, let's go to verse 5. Let's back up to verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. For one person esteems a day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. For he who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. For he gives God thanks, and he does not eat to the Lord. He does not eat and give thanks to God. So what's my point in saying this? Here's my point. As a young man who was trying to discover, trying to search for this thing called the truth and Christianity as it's revealed through the Bible, as I was trying to do my best to observe God's Saturday, the seventh day, the Saturday Sabbath, I was confronted with some very challenging questions and some arguments that, you know, really at the time seemed to make sense. And really they would oftentimes turn to Romans 14 and say, Tony, look, you don't need to keep Sunday. You don't need to keep Saturday. All you have to do is set aside a certain day of the week and make it holy to the Lord. Well, that's not what God says, and that's not what the Scripture indicates. As a matter of fact, for clarity purposes, Jesus Christ had something to say about all these things. Let's go over to Mark chapter 7, when Jesus talked about some traditions that people were keeping and observing, even though their intentions were good. You know, he always puts the importance and the right to say how we do things back to his Father. He says in verse 1, then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. Always looking for fault with Christ, they were. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, the pitchers and copper vessels and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he said, answered them and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but with their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching the doctrines of the commandments of man. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and of cups, and many other such things as you do. All too well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your own tradition. You realize that roughly for the first 300 years, for the first three centuries of Christianity, well, there may have been an undertone of Sunday observance and pagan days, because with the influx of Gentiles, there were brought in some heresies into Christianity, and there was an undertone there. But do you realize that the Sabbath day was not officially changed from Saturday to Sunday until Emperor Constantine came along, who was, as this article writer from that we just read, from that Baptist background, who was a sun worshiper, and he observed a Sunday. And that day was not even observed until Constantine, being a political entity, changed it. So we don't ever see in the scriptures for roughly 300 years Sunday being observed as a day of worship. No, it was Saturday. Now, in the book of John, or book of Revelation, when I talked about John in Revelation chapter 1, he was in the Lord's day, and I did that on purpose because I wanted to set the context. It's about the day of the Lord's return and what the Lord is going to do. You see, way back in the book of Genesis when he set that memorial, we do understand that things have wrongfully and erroneously been changed through Christianity, but he's coming back to restore some things. One of the things that he's going to restore when he returns is not only justice and equity into the earth, but he's also going to reestablish God's law and his Sabbath days. This is what Jesus is going to do when he returns. And just to set the context, Isaiah chapter 66, this is about the Lord's return in verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render anger with fury and rebuke with flames of fire. So what is the context? What are we talking about here? Isaiah is inspired to write about and expose the day of the Lord or his return back to planet Earth. That is the context, in fact. And then we're just going to skip over to verse 22 of Isaiah chapter 66 and read about the restoration of God's memorial. That's how important the Sabbath day is. He's coming back to restore it. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so your descendants and your name remain, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, catch that, one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come to worship me before the Lord, before me, says the Lord. What does he say? All the Jews shall come to worship before me, or all flesh shall come to worship me on my Sabbath day? Well, friends, I'm sorry we're out of time, but let me bring your attention once again to some items that we want to make available to you completely free of charge. A CD titled Sabbath, A Memorial Connection, and the article Sunday, Saturday, What Difference Does It Make? Why don't you pick up your phones and please call us at 888-578-8791. Again, that's 888-578-8791. Or hit us up on the web at cgi.org. If you have any questions that result from today's telecast or any other questions you might have, please write us at info@cgi.org. And don't forget about that weekly telecast. Well, friends, we're out of time. So until we see each other again, you keep on that armor, and I'll keep on mine, that we might be able to stand, and we might be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.